First, I want to thank Bea for all her help in getting me on the right track here, and our wonderful musicians, our technical support people. I also want to mention that the new president of your congregation, Holly Hanauer, is the long-term pianist for Temple Beth El. You're really lucky to have Holly. So, what's Judaism all about? Historically, Judaism is about the worship of one God. It began when Abraham, who lived in a culture that worshiped multiple idols, decided to proclaim and follow one God. Abraham was able to give effective expression to monotheism and to transmit his faith. Incidentally, the Muslims have the same origins. Abraham is their forefather also. Judaism is based largely on the writings in the Torah, prophets, writings, and Talmud. Judaism is not just a religion, it's a way of life. The main pillars upon which Judaism rests are prayer, study, and charity. We pray individually or in groups. In groups, we pray at a synagogue, which is the Greek for meeting place. We study the Torah and the medieval commentaries on it and its relevance to our modern world. We give to charity both individually and as a group. Judaism is a way of life because it's not just something we take out on the Sabbath. We live it daily. All the commandments, or in the Reform movement, those we find meaningful, are incorporated into daily living. How we interact with others, praying daily, saying a blessing before eating or drinking or washing one's hands, not eating certain types of food because they are forbidden, thereby making even the act of eating a holy act. Every conscious act we perform has the potential to give meaning to our lives, to make our lives holy. Nowadays, there are many types of Jews: Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, Hasidic, conservative, reconstructionist, and Reform. Initially, there was only one type of Jews, but the Jews were dispersed after the land of Israel was conquered by the Romans, the Babylonians, the Ottomans, etc., etc. People grew up in different lands and cultures, and the religion evolved in these different areas. The Hebrew language itself evolved into two different forms with different pronunciations, the Ashkenazic and the Sephardic, the Ashkenazic form developing in Europe and the Sephardic in the Middle East. Differences are based on lifestyle and how strictly one interprets and follows the hundreds of commandments found in the Torah. For example, it is forbidden to work on the Sabbath. If you follow this rule strictly, as the very Orthodox do, you cannot turn on a light during the Sabbath. That's interpreted as doing work. You cannot turn on the stove or cook on the Sabbath. It's work. You can't ride in a car. You can't carry things. So how do people survive who follow this? If you follow these rules strictly, you leave some lights burning, such as a nightlight, before the Sabbath. You turn the oven on low and place the food in there before the Sabbath starts, so you will have food for the Sabbath. You disable the light in the stove and the refrigerator for the Sabbath, so you don't turn on the light when you open the refrigerator or the stove. You live in a neighborhood where you can walk to the synagogue. Some of the hospitals in New York City, where I grew up, have the elevators stop and open at each floor continually throughout the Sabbath, so that no one has to press a button. This is important in a building that's 50 stories or more tall. For the past 40 years of my life, I have been a member of the Reform movement. There is more leeway in the Reform movement in deciding which commandments are really meaningful to oneself and that one should follow. That's why I chose to become a Reformed Jew as an adult. We observe the Sabbath, but because most of us live far from the synagogue, we drive if we have to. The Reform movement was the first to give equal participatory rights to women. As a child growing up in the conservative and Orthodox traditions, the women were behind a partition or a curtain. In Reform synagogues, the men and women sit together. In the Reform movement, the women can be called up to the Torah or lead prayers or services. They can even become rabbis. One of the most important parts of Reform Judaism is the concept of tikkun olam, the repairing of the world. In this concept, God is thought to have deliberately made the world imperfect. It is the duty of every one of us to constantly strive to make the world a better place, to work to repair a broken world. We may all have different skills and levels of ability, but we are all obligated to use whatever we can to perfect the world. No one is exempt from this obligation. Like all religions, Judaism has special holidays and celebrations. The most important holidays are the High Holy Days and Shabbat. The High Holy Days usually fall in September or October. We have a different calendar, lunar versus solar, so it's not always the same time. They start with Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and the Day of Repentance. They end with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. During the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, which are called the Days of Awe, a Jewish person must reflect on his or her sins in the past year and take action on any sins that one has committed. For sins against God, one prays for forgiveness and vows not to repeat these sins if possible. For sins against another human being, it is not enough to pray to God. One must go to the person one wronged, either by word or by deed, and apologize and try to correct the harm. There is an analogy that's used. On Rosh Hashanah, God judges your acts and writes your fate in his book. On Yom Kippur, the book is closed and your fate for the next year is sealed. This is just an analogy, of course. But you have the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to undo any harm that you might have done in the past. It is a time of great introspection and prayer. Passover is the celebration of the liberation of the Jewish people from hundreds of years as slaves in Egypt and their exodus from Egypt. On the first 2 days, we have a ritual meal with symbolic food accompanied by prayers and the reading of the story of the Exodus. It is a celebration of freedom from slavery. Sukkot, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, is a harvest festival during which time one prays to express gratitude and eats or lives in booths, commemorating when the Israelites lived in booths in the fields to gather the harvest. Shavuot, which means weeks, is exactly 7 weeks after Passover. We celebrated it several weeks ago. It is also a harvest festival, but it is also the celebration of the giving of the Torah to the Israelites on Mount Sinai and the covenant with God and a reaffirmation to live a Jewish life. The holiday of Simchat Torah celebrates the conclusion and resumption of the annual cycle of Torah readings. It's a scroll, so we scroll through it. When we finish the last verse of Deuteronomy, we scroll right to the beginning and start all over with the first verses of Genesis. Torah scrolls are removed from the ark and they're carried through the synagogue. And it's a time of great joy and festivity with dancing and singing with the Torah scrolls. Hanukkah is also a festival of freedom and a celebration of the Israelites' freedom to worship their own religion. Because of a legend of a miracle by which sacred oil should have burned in the temple for one day, but lasted 8 days until replacements were obtained, we light candles or burn oil for the 8 days of Hanukkah. Because of its juxtaposition to Christmas in time, it seems to be more of a major holiday than it really is. Kids get a lot of presents, as parents feel bad when they see their kids see what the Christian kids get for Christmas. Purim celebrates the events described in the book of Esther, when hatred for the Jews in Shushan, Persia, was about to result in their annihilation, but was subverted. It is a carnival-like festival where people dress up like the characters in the story. Tisha B'Av, meaning the ninth day of the month of Av, is the date of the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians in 586 before the Common Era, and the destruction of the second temple by the Romans in 70 of the Common Era. It is observed by many as a day of mourning and fasting and reading the Book of Lamentations. Tu B'Shevat is the 15th day of Shevat and is the celebration of the new year for trees, where trees are planted, especially in Israel. You will recall that Israel was a desert before the trees started to be planted. There is also a special ritual dinner where the fruits of the trees are eaten, along with special readings and prayers. Yom Ha'atzma'ut is Israel Independence Day. Israel is the homeland of the Jewish people and a symbol of Jewish unity. Yom HaShoah is Holocaust Remembrance Day, observed on the anniversary of the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto in 1943. We remember the 6 million martyrs to the inhuman hatred by the Nazis and their cohorts. We pray, we read from the literature of the Holocaust, light memorial candles, and give to charity. The Jewish life cycle is an essential part of Judaism. The birth of a baby is celebrated with a naming ceremony in the synagogue. If it's a boy, there is a bris, a ritual circumcision also. A bar mitzvah is the coming of age ceremony for a boy when he turns 13. He is called to the Torah and reads the portion for the week and gives a talk on it. He has to study very hard for this. He has to learn Hebrew. He has to learn how to read from the Torah, which is not only written in Hebrew and therefore read from left to right, but the Torah has no vowels, no capitals, and no punctuation. And it also has to be correctly chanted. In the Reform movement, a girl can similarly have a bat mitzvah with the same requirements. The B'nai Mitzvah ceremony marks the child's entering into adulthood and taking on the responsibilities to the community of an adult. Part of the life cycle includes weddings and, of course, funerals. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. As B said, I'm a pediatrician. I've been president of Temple Beth El, the Jewish synagogue in Muncie, for 16 years. We are a very, very small congregation of about 30-plus member units. My parents were born in Vienna, Austria. Anti-Semitism was rampant there then. After Germany formally took over Austria in March of 1938, my parents knew that they had to get out of Austria or die. My father and his brother had plans to ski over the Alps to Switzerland, dragging my mother, who could not ski, if they did not get papers to live. Most people did not get papers to leave. My parents, my uncle, a few others were amongst those fortunate enough to get papers, and they got out. Most of their family and their friends did not, and died during the Holocaust. My parents came to New York City. My mother had to leave her own dear mother, never to see her again. My father was drafted after the United States entered World War II, even though he was not yet a U.S. citizen. He became a citizen in the Army. My father was one of the soldiers that hit the beach at Normandy. He was wounded twice, received many medals, including two Purple Hearts. I'd like to tell you about another relative. Harriet was born in Germany. Her father's store was destroyed during Kristallnacht, and he was arrested. He was released for a short time, and her parents, seeing the writing on the wall, arranged for her to be a part of the Kinder transport to England. She was 14 at the time. She left Germany never to see her parents or friends again. As her parents wanted to send her their money, but were forbidden to, they put all their money into kitchen linens and they sent them to her. All of my kitchen towels have her initials on them and were from that. So that every time I dry my hands in the kitchen or I do drying dishes, I am reminded of this terrible part of history where 6 million, European Jews were exterminated. For no other reason than they were Jewish. Anti-Semitism is growing again in Europe and the rest of the world. It's growing on our own U.S. campuses, which we would think would be the epicenter of religious freedom and tolerance, but are not. We thought that this would never happen again, but it is happening and growing. The next photo is of my dear friend Bibi Brahmi and myself, who were asked to lead the prayers at the last Lenten service here at the Unitarian Church. Bibi and I hold meetings and dinners between our two groups, the Islamic Center and Temple Beth El, and often go together to speak about understanding, love, and peace. It is my hope that by knowing each other, people will avoid stereotypes and hatred, and we will one day live together in peace and understanding. And that is why whenever I am asked to speak about Judaism, I do so. Thank you very much.